This is Whispering Ned's Poetry Prompt, number 77. I just wanted to read you a poem, see where it takes you. It's a poem that was written in 1859 by Christina Rossetti. I suppose you could call it an adult fairy tale. But, it's called Goblin Market. Morning and evening, maids heard the goblins cry. Come buy our orchard fruits, come buy, come buy. Apples and quinces, lemons and oranges, plump unpecked cherries, melons and raspberries, bloom down cheek peaches, swart-headed mulberries, wild free-born cranberries, crabapples, dewberries, pineapples, blackberries, apricots, strawberries, all ripe together in summer weather, morns that pass by, fir eaves that fly, come by, come by, our grapes fresh from the vine, pomegranates full and fine, dates and sharp bullises, rare pears and greengages, damsons and bilberries, taste them and try, currants and gooseberries, bright fire-like barberries, figs to fill your mouth, citrons from the south, sweet to tongue and sound to eye. Come by, come by. Evening by evening, among the brookside rushes, Laura bowed her head to hear. Lizzie veiled her blushes, crouching close together in the cooling weather, with clasping arms and cautioning lips, with tingling cheeks and fingertips. Lie close, Laura said, pricking up her golden head. We must not look at goblin men. We must not buy their fruits. Who knows upon what soil they fed their hungry, thirsty roots? Come by, call the goblins, hobbling down the glen. Oh, cried Lizzie, Laura, Laura, you should not peep at goblin men. Lizzie covered up her eyes, covered close, lest they should look. Laura reared her glossy head and whispered like the restless brook. Look, Lizzie, down the glen tramp little men. One holds a basket, one bears a plate, one lugs a golden dish of many pounds weight. How fair the vine must grow, whose grapes are so luscious. How warm the wind must blow through those fruit bushes. No, said Lizzie, no, no, no. Their offers should not charm us. Their evil gifts would harm us. She thrust a dimple finger in each ear, shut eyes and ran. Curious Laura chose to linger, wondering at each merchant man. One had a cat's face, one whisked a tail, one trampled at a rat's pace, one crawled like a snail, one like a wombat proud, obtuse and furry, one like a rattle humbled, hurry-scurry. She heard a voice like voice of doves cooing all together. They sounded kind and full of loves in the pleasant weather. Laura stretched her gleaming neck like a rush-embedded swan, like a lily from the beck, like a moonlit poplar branch, like a vessel at the launch when its last restraint is gone. Backwards up the mossy glen turned and trooped the goblin men with their shrill repeated cry, come by, come by. When they reached where Laura was, they stood stock still upon the moss, leering at each other, brother with queer brother, signalling each other. Brother with sly brother, one set his basket down, one reared his plate, one began to weave a crown of tendrils, leaves, and rough nuts brown. Men sell not such in any town. One heaved the golden weight of a dish and fruit to offer her. "Come by, come by," was still their cry. Laura started but did not stir, longed but had no money. The whisk-tail merchant bade her taste in tones as smooth as honey. The cat face purred, the rat paste spoke a word of welcome, and the snail paste even was heard. One parrot voiced and jolly cried, "Pretty goblin still for pretty Polly." One whistled like a bird. But sweet tooth Laura spoke in haste, "Good folk, I have no coin to take were to purloin. I have no copper in my purse, I have no silver either, and all my gold is on the furze that shakes in windy weather above the rusty heather. You have much gold upon your head," they answered all together. "Buy from us with a golden curl." She clipped a precious golden lock, she dropped a tear more rare than pearl, then sucked the fruit globe's fur or red, sweeter than honey from the rock, stronger than man rejoicing wine, clearer than water flowed that juice. She never tasted such before. How should it cloy with length of use? She sucked and sucked and sucked the more fruits which that unknown orchard bore. She sucked until her lips were sore, then flung the emptied rinds away, but gathered up one kernel stone, and knew not was it night or day, and she turned home alone. Lizzie met her at the gate, full of wise upbraidings. "Dear, you should not stay so late. Twilight is not good for maidens. You should not loiter in the glen, in the haunts of goblin men. Do you not remember Jeanie? How she met them in the moonlight, took their gifts, both choice and many, and their fruits, and wore their flowers plucked from bowers where summer ripens at all hours. But ever in the noonlight she pined and pined away, sought them by night and day, found them no more, but dwindled and grew grey, then fell with the first snow, while to this day no grass will grow where she lies low. I planted daisies there a year ago, and they never blow. You should not loiter so." "Nay, hush," said Laura, "nay, hush, my sister, I ate and ate my fill, yet my mouth waters still. Tomorrow night I will buy more," and kissed her. "Have done with sorrow, I'll bring you plums tomorrow, fresh on their mother twigs, cherries worth getting. You cannot think what figs my teeth have met in, what melons icy cold piled on a dish of gold too huge for me to hold, what peaches with a velvet nap, pellucid grapes without one seed. Odorous indeed must be the mead whereon they grow, and pure the wave they drink with lilies at the brink, and sugar sweet the sap. Golden head by golden head, like two pigeons in one nest, folded in each other's wings, they lay down in their curtain bed, like two blossoms on one stem, like two flakes of new-fallen snow, like two wands of ivory, tipped with gold for awful kings. Moon and stars gazed in at them, wind sang to them lullaby, lumbering owls forbore to fly, not a bat flapped to and fro round their nest, cheek to cheek and breast to breast, locked together in